Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. They get you the best insurance at the best price. And when it comes to a claim, they take care of it right away. Why? Because when that happens, you're the most important person to them. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And on your home for the Philadelphia Phillies, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Roots 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Pitchers and catchers 2 weeks away from reporting. And, of course, WKOK is your new home for the Philadelphia Phillies. All right, the play-by-play call of the day. Chuck Cooperstein with the call on this one with the Mavericks.
Williams with four to shoot, with three, with two. Cutting left, pull up, three-pointer, good! Oh, my, as the shot clock buzzer went off, and that's the dagger shot of the night.
It sure is, and Mavericks took care of business last night on Darren Williams' shot. Chuck Cooperstein with the call on the Mavs radio network.
I like now that, the dagger shot of the night.
You can use that tonight.
I was going to say, I may have to use that tonight.
When Shamokin takes on Shikellamy tonight in what you have termed as the game of the year.
The showdown in Shamokin.
We'll have it for you tonight at 7?
Following CBS News, yes.
So we'll have that for you tonight. Should be a great, great basketball game. All right. Now we get to the part that thoroughly, completely depresses you.
No, we're going to talk about business, aren't we?
We're going to talk about money.
Ugh. That's what ruins sports.
I don't think LeBron James agrees with you.
I'm sure he doesn't.
I don't think LeBron James is looking. What do you mean it ruins sports? What it's all about?
I'm sure he feels slightly different.
It was that old Roy Firestone. Roy Firestone, outstanding interviewer. Not only that, but Roy Firestone was also great at doing impersonations.
Totally is.
Fabulous. Right? And he used to do an impersonation of Keith Jackson. And I'll butcher the sound of it here just a bit. But it was Keith Jackson, cottage football. What does cottage football mean to me? Oh, about $1 million a year contractually. That's what cottage football means to me.
I just remember they did an interview with Keith Jackson one time where he goes, I just want everybody to know that I never said, whoa, Nelly, that's Roy Firestone that pinned that on me.
Well, it's a compliment when they impersonate you. And we're going to.
He wasn't complaining, though.
It's a compliment when they impersonate. So, what we're going to do is a show here someday where people are going to call in and impersonate Kevin Herb's best calls.
That won't take long.
And then I'm going to pick a winner and we're going to give him a prize package.
Again, won't take long.
There'll be people calling in. Come on. You've done Shikellamy for, 7,200 years over
give
time.
Give or take a year, yeah.
There's certain calls that are signature calls of yours. I mean, people come in, I bet they could impersonate you, boom, like that. And we'll have you be one of the judges, too, as to whether you think it sounds like you or not.
Okay.
I think it would be fun.
I think it would be entertaining.
Now, we're going to get into the money part here. And I know this disappoints me. But we bring in Tony Knopf, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. Tony, welcome. Great to have you back. And by the way, I hope the baby's doing well. Super Bowl 50, is it a big buy or is there more of a concentration of 51? Where are we in terms of interest from corporate partners on Super Bowl 50?
Surprisingly, no. that he is not a hot one. I know when we talked 3 months ago, we said, I mean, just came out and said, I don't know what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like it's not that sought after a Super Bowl, but the Silicon Valley has plenty of money and that could change it. And it hasn't. You know, this is the first Super Bowl we've seen since New York where you can book a hotel room for Saturday night in San Francisco right now if you wanted to for $350.
Wow.
And, I mean, that's for a Super Bowl, that's really cheap. And Super Bowl tickets are, you know, a quarter of the price they were last year, which is not too surprising, but I think they just overestimated the demand that was going to come from Silicon Valley.
Yeah, it sounds like they did. Now, this stadium is a bit different because this stadium is very Wi-Fi compatible, very device compatible. Now, it's been in existence for two seasons. Have they been able to, in terms of being able to accommodate devices, has it been what they hoped it would be as to how fans reacted to it? Because I know when we've talked a few times, you mentioned that was one of the keys with this place.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a big success for them. It's been a launching ground for a lot of different in-event technologies, you know, the ability to upgrade your seat, the ability to order your food, the ability to, you know, find where the shortest line is. And the interesting thing about it is it's been so successful that you have all of these little tech startups now that are, you know, working with the 49ers. And they're trying to get traction at other stadiums, and they're not, simply because it's just a different demographic, right? In the Santa Clara, Silicon Valley area, it's a little more tech-savvy than most, and people are more accepting of it. And we're seeing it with the Super Bowl. You know, the host committee, the 49ers, they wanted to move it to an e-ticket Super Bowl, a mobile Super Bowl. And it's just it didn't work. And I'm not surprised it didn't, because the demographic that attends the Super Bowl is generally the older demographic, people who are more experienced in their positions and higher up in the business. And they're going to have this beautiful capability, and it's not going to be used for Super Bowl 50.
Let's get to the Rams now. The Los Angeles Rams, as you and I both know, growing up, there were the Los Angeles Rams. So Kroenke, in the end, gets what he wants. The NFL gets a big campus where you can put NFL Network, NFL.com, everything that goes with it. The Rams are going to have a year up on anybody who wants to go there because of marketing-wise. Give me the advantage that the Rams have now over anybody else that wants to be in that stadium.
It is a significant advantage. In fact, it's one of those business decisions that I just can't imagine. I personally think, and this is not a widely shared opinion, that the intent here was the Rams go here. Now they have this stadium to dangle in front of San Diego, San Antonio, and Vegas, so that the Chargers can get a new stadium deal and possibly stay in San Diego, so that the Raiders can go to Las Vegas or San Antonio. I don't see the validity in two NFL teams in Los Angeles trying to sell suites. It's not like New York City, right? So with the Rams having the ability to start with that already and get that entire year's, you know, advance, I just don't see how it would be feasible for the Chargers and the Raiders to follow them. Especially now in this world of sports economics, where so much of your revenue comes from sponsorships and premium seating, to have all of that premium seating getting gobbled up by the Rams for an entire year beforehand, you know, these businesses are not going to wait. They're not going to say, I'm not going to sign my 10-year suite lease to see if the Chargers are going to come. They're going to do it. They don't want to be left out.
It sounds like Kroenke went in and overwhelmed the other owners with what he could deliver on that campus of the site of Hollywood Park. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. And the reality with Stan Kroenke, you know, love him or hate him all you want, is he's had a lot of success in the sports world, right? The Nuggets and Avs have been, you know, they've been solid and well-run organizations. He's had a lot of success with Arsenal in the English Premier League. I think what happened was he just put more business acumen behind it than the Chargers offer or the Raiders offer. And from what I'm hearing from people that are involved very deep, the Raiders seem kind of half-hearted about it. To be honest, they're still kind of looking around at other things, and they're the one team that didn't burn their bridges on the way to the presentation.
Right.
And the Chargers burned the bridges, and I mean, there's no way Kroenke is going back to St. Louis after the letter he released.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, he gets this stadium, which I think, 2019 is the target date for it?
2019. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 2019 is the target date. What can the stadium mean not only for him, but what can it mean for Los Angeles' bid for the Olympics? What can it mean for maybe a Final Four? What can it mean?
So the biggest selling point that he had, so for people who don't keep up too much with what happens in Los Angeles, it's very sectionalized, right? It's very broken up, and there's a lot of different warring cities inside of Los Angeles proper, which is really just a sprawling urban community. And a lot of the different people who have been pushing, people say, how did it take 25 years to get a football team, 30 years to get a football team back to L.A.? Well, a lot of the last proposals were, they were out there in the middle of nowhere, right, with no public transportation to them. Nobody wanted to go to the city of industry, which is 40 miles east of where we are now. Nobody wanted to go to Carson, which is kind of an industrial complex, you know, that's not easy to get in and out of.
Right.
This opportunity really came up when Hollywood Park went under, right? Hollywood Park, for people that will remember, is that's where the Forum is. That's where the Showtime Lakers played. It's not a nice neighborhood at all, but it is a very central neighborhood. It's right next to LAX. It's easy to get in and out of, and people have been going there for events for quite some time. It's going to give them a central piece for LA 2024. Now the battle we're going to see with LA 2024, and we've already seen both sides angling for it, is it's going to be the Coliseum against the Inglewood Stadium. Coliseum has the history of the 84 games, one of the most successful games in history, the most profitable Olympics games in history. They're going to really try to angle to get the opening and closings there. Whereas Inglewood, you know, it's going to be a much newer, much more state-of-the-art, better reflection on, you know, North American technology at the time. I've even heard them splitting it, saying do the opening ceremonies at one and closing at another for the first time.
Right. San Diego, how tough is the political climate down there for the Chargers to get this done? Because they bought themselves a year. He's already trademarked logos. He already has an agreement in principle to go to Inglewood if he can't get a deal in San Diego. So he's done what a good businessman does at this point. He's at least given himself, you know, an avenue to turn to. What about the political climate in San Diego?
It's difficult. And San Francisco went through the same thing on the other side of the spectrum. San Francisco is an incredibly liberal political climate. They don't like to spend money on things like professional sports teams and stadiums. And so the San Francisco Giants and the 49ers went through similar battles. People forget that the San Francisco 49ers, or the San Francisco Giants, were on the way out of town. They were going to St. Pete.
Yes, they were.
Before the Tampa Bay Rays there. That deal was done. And Peter McGowan and his team, the Safeway guys, came in, bought them. And then what people forget about, you know, what's now AT&T Park, is that was built with private money. One of the first private money stadiums. There was no city bonds tied to that at all. And the 49ers eventually got a deal done in Santa Clara, you know, 30 minutes south of San Francisco. In San Diego, the Chargers have a different problem. San Diego is actually very Republican, and there is a lot of military there. The majority of San Diego is, you know, biotech and military and tourism, and they just don't give money to professional teams. They did it with Petco Park. It was a big battle. I don't see them having success trying to get a stadium built there. If they do, it's going to be in, you know, it's not going to be in San Diego proper. They're going to have to move out.
Like go out to Mission Valley, which is where they are now.
Where they are now, Qualcomm.
Right. Yeah. Which is right.
As you and I know, Jack Murphy, as you and I know. Right,
Jack Murphy Stadium, as we know, which is really very close to the San Diego State campus. I mean, that the campus is actually very close to it.
And so it's a tough spot. I mean, look, usually when you're doing that kind of deal, you have to be able to come in, and to give an idea of what Kroenke can do when he comes out, you have to be able to come in and say, look, here's how we're going to finance this. You know, if the city is going to get on the hook for some of the tickets and for some of the revenues, we have to prove that we're going to make enough to pay that back, because that's not what happened in San Diego. The Chargers actually have the city in a terrible deal right now, where the city is buying up all the unpurchased tickets.
That's
every
right,
game.
Yeah, right, that's right. And people don't realize that, yep.
No, and it's very difficult in San Diego to come back and say, look, I'm going to get premium revenue, and they're going to say, from where? You know, there isn't a corporate presence in San Diego. Whereas in Los Angeles, you can say, look, we're going to get the entertainment companies, we're going to get MGM to buy in, we're going to get all these different guys to buy in. They're going to do 10-year deals with us. We're going to lock up millions and millions and millions and billions of revenues over the next 10 years. You've got nothing to worry about. Chargers, I mean, San Diego's a tough market to make that argument right now. I mean, if you look at the NFL as a whole, you and I talk about how powerful the NFL is, but the cracks in the foundation.
Yeah.
10% of their teams right now are saying that they are in a market that is not valid.
That's right.
Not a viable business market. That's shocking.
Well, I was just in one because I did the tax slayer bowl in Jacksonville. I mean, that's
right.
the perfect example of that. And they will tell you, and Kroenke was blunt about it, St. Louis is not a great market.
No. It doesn't have the corporate presence. They have some big names there, Monsanto, Anheuser-Busch, Thompson. You know, they've got a lot of decent companies there, but they just don't have the consolidation of business and the concentration of people to be able to support a sports team in the way it is now. And people will always talk about, yes, but we did it for so long. It was so great in the early 90s and, you know, mid-90s and, you know, when they moved out here from L.A. and blah, 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 and that's great, but it's not sustainable.
Right.
You know, people can hate the corporate dollar as much as they want, but it's sustaining a lot of sports teams. There are examples where it doesn't, like in Green Bay and other places. Sure. But the majority of markets today are markets where you have enough business investment that's going to keep the team alive.
You always look ahead. So what's the hot buy for you months down the road, and what's a buy that's not a great buy?
I don't want to saber rattle at all, but right now it's been an interesting time in our industry. We do the management, so we don't really care about too much of the, if it goes south, if the economy goes south or anything like that, it doesn't really hurt us too much.
Right.
But what we're starting to see is people are buying less just because the times have been good for many companies for so long that people have already been to all the events, right?
It's
the first time we're seeing that. Like, well, yeah, I've been to the Masters the last 5 years. So we've kind of met that trough now where the events have fallen into what they've historically done, right? The Masters is historically as strong as it's been. I'll be curious this year, without Tiger being a threat at all, how much drop-off we see. To be totally honest, Steve, the big draws right now are the festivals, the music festivals.
Wow.
They're really taken away from everybody, including sports. That's where all the money's going.
Right, and that's where the money's going. What about soccer? Soccer is still...
Soccer continues to grow. The MLS is incredibly valuable. I mean, if you went into a business school and said, okay, kids, all you MBAs, the sharpest up-and-coming ones there are, here are five teams, you don't know what sport they play in, these are their economics, these are their growth trends, which one do you want? They would all choose the MLS team.
Right. Right,
they're printing money right now,
and they know how to print. They know how to attract millennials, which then
they
become
do.
Your future buyers. Correct?
They do. It becomes your future buyer. They've got the millennial in. They've got the parent in. And the reality is, because they're finally getting that boost. I mean, soccer's failed here for 35 years, 40 years. The problem with it was they could never tie themselves to Europe. They could never tie themselves to South America, where the quality of the game was so much higher. Now they can. Now content is so easy to get that we actually know who these people are. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo, 30 years ago, you could walk into a bar in, 49 of the 50 capitals and ask who he is, and nobody knows who he is.
Right.
Now I'd say at least a 50% hit rate. People at least know that name, right? I know who Cristiano Ronaldo is. I've heard of him. And that's been the difference for them. And it's going to continue to change, especially with football losing participation year over year over year and moving over to soccer, which is the second highest rate of concussions in sports, but...
And it's interesting. I was reading an article about how fans on the other side of the pond like the MLS because some of the older stars are over here now.
The top players over here.
Right. The only part they don't get, they don't understand why a team doesn't get relegated.
No. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Which I love. I would love that in all of our major sports. The Philadelphia 76ers wouldn't like that so much. But... it makes for great stories.
It does. Tony, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again. Appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
Tony Knopp, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. We'll get Kevin's depressing take on the fact that money is this business in sports. You don't like that, do you? That bothers you. I think he quit.
I zoned out. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, considering that our polling shows he's one of our top guests, I don't think that's a good thing for you. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Kind of a cool feeling, I'm sure, for John Elway this week, because the while Carolina practices at San Jose State, and they're staying in San Jose, the Broncos are staying in Santa Clara, and they're practicing at Stanford. And that's be kind of a neat feeling for John Elway. Don't you think, Kevin?
Sure.
Oh, jeez. John Elway went to Stanford?
I'm aware.
Okay, I can't tell.
I'm aware.
You know, sometimes...
There are some things I'm not aware of. You're right. I mean, but that one I actually did know.
Okay.
That one I actually did know.
Okay. Just want to make sure, because sometimes I'm not sure.
I understand. It's not always good to assume with me, because you're never quite sure. I get it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. So that has become a neat feeling.
Peyton Manning did not go there to school. I know that.
No, he went to Tennessee.
He went to Tennessee.
Yes, he did. All right. Joe Person, Charlotte Observer, next half hour. The money thing depresses you, doesn't it?
See, the money thing is why my favorite players don't stay on the team. Why?
It's true.
Teams move from different cities. And I'll tell you what, with all the movement that's going on right now in a lot of different sports, it really scares me to think, will Pittsburgh be one of, I don't think it will, but could Pittsburgh be one of those teams that moves someday?
It's one of the reasons why, for example, a lot of people get attached to college teams.
They usually don't move.
Usually?
Well, they may dismantle their program, but
yes,
they usually don't move.
Yes. Collegiate wrestling, one at a time. I think there's only 76 left in Division I.
Your four-legged friend is an important part of the family.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day, Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner. Why? He basically told John Scott, like, look, for the good of the game, don't play in the game. It's just going to go. But guess what, commissioner? Here's one for you. Hey, the fans are the ones that buy the TV sets. Fans are the ones that buy the tickets. They buy the hot dogs. They buy the pretzels. They buy the products you advertise on your TV games. They voted him into the All-Star game. And then John Scott, who was traded from Arizona to Montreal and is now currently in the American Hockey League, is in the AHL, scores two goals and is voted by the fans to be the tournament's most valuable player. So he got a car out of it. He has two children, a wife that's expecting a third. And then the winning team got $1 million. And Gary Bettman had to present the check to him. Gary Bettman should have delivered a public apology about the John Scott situation, but won't, because these people never admit they're wrong about anything. It's the fans' game. It's what they want. The fans are the single most important element in the game. If they're, you know, you could say, well, if there are no players, there's no game. No owners, there's no game. If there's no fans, there's no game. Many a league has gone under over time when the fans have looked around and said,
I don't think so. I think I'm going to do something else. Right? Don't insult the fans. I know you just got a new contract extension of 6 years. Let me give you one big piece of advice above all. Don't insult the fans. It's a consumer-driven business. Don't insult the fans. He's our bozo of the day. We're going to have to get a little better sound effect on that one. All right.
I like that one, though. I like it.
Let's bring in Joe Person now. Williamsport's own from the Charlotte Observer, who's out in San Francisco right now getting ready for Super Bowl Media Day, which, by the way, for the first time ever is in prime time. Joe, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for carving out a couple of minutes, and we won't keep you long. You get out there. You're about an hour away from all of this. How difficult is this trying to navigate all of this because you're not close to the sites?
Yeah, it is one of those Super Bowls that everything's pretty spread out. That hour bus ride from San Francisco, where they have all the media, to San Jose and Santa Clara, where the two teams are based, that's an hour drive with no traffic. We've been told that later in the week, that drive could take upwards of two and a half hours. So the city right now doesn't have that Super Bowl feel quite yet, but in a couple of days, this place, this whole Bay Area is going to fill up with people.
Joe, what do you want to somehow get out of this Super Bowl Media Day? Because it's not, I mean, I've done it before, and if you navigate it right, you can get what you need out of it. What do you need out of it today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, of course we want to hear what Cam has to say. Last week in Charlotte, he had some pretty provocative thoughts about how he's perceived by some segments of the population. Talking about how people, he's not sure everybody gets him and all his touchdown celebrations and how he doesn't fit into your typical quarterback box. I don't know that he's going to go there again. I have a hunch he's going to want to make this more about the Panthers, less about himself. But you never know. I mean, on that stage, he might feel that this is a message that he wants to relay again to the millions of people watching tonight in this primetime edition of NFL Media Day.
You know him somewhat because you've covered him so often. What do you know about him where you say, you know what, if people really knew him, he's a little bit misunderstood? Because I think he's just a fabulous quarterback, a guy who's become a fabulous quarterback who's a great athlete on top of it.
Yeah, you know, he, like a lot of these guys, he does a ton of charity at work that gets a lot of play in Charlotte. We certainly go out and cover his various events, but doesn't necessarily move the meter nationally. And then he also is, he's just a competitor. You say that about so many guys, but look, the guy won a national championship at Auburn. He won a junior college championship at Blinn College in Texas during that year in between Florida and Auburn. Oh, by the way, grabbed a Heisman Trophy in his time at Auburn. The stage is not too big for Cam. This is what he's been waiting for. He's been dreaming of this moment. So this is not going to be one of these. If he plays poorly Sunday, and I don't think he's going to, if he does, it's not going to be because he has butterflies or that the stage was too big for him.
Right. Thomas Davis, do you think he plays?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he finishes the game with a broken arm that will have had 2 weeks to heal.
Right.
But he means so much to this organization and to Charlotte. He's their longest tenured player. If you know the story. He's overcome 3 ACL surgeries. I think he does play. He says he's not worried about the risk of re-injury. He's going to wear a Kevlar-type brace. But, you know, he plays outside linebacker in the Super Bowl. He is going to be involved in a number of jarring hits.
Yeah.
You just wonder how that arm will hold up.
Yeah, this is the Jack Youngblood Super Bowl 14 moment against the Steelers, and he made it all the way through with a broken bone in his leg. So Finally, Joe, and I'll let you go because we just appreciate the fact you carved out a few minutes for us today. What are a couple things when you've looked at this matchup that you think favor Carolina and a couple things where Carolina should be worried?
Yeah, I do think that this Panthers team, I'm not sure the game, and I'm sorry, but I'm walking through the streets of San Francisco, so I apologize.
No, it's fine.
Here. I think the Panthers should be heavily favored. If anything, I think this version of Peyton Manning, and I know that he has still the wily veteran, and he knows how to read defenses and make checks. Like his arm, his strength is not what it was. This is a defense that has thrived on turnovers, on defensive scores, Luke Kuechly becoming the first guy ever to have two pick sixes in a single postseason. I mean, I'd be almost be surprised if they don't get a defensive score on Sunday. But I think the big problem for the Panthers potentially could be keeping DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller off of Cam Newton. Those are two very good pass rushers. That'll be a matchup to watch. Ultimately, though, I think the Panthers win this game, maybe by as much as like two scores.
Hey, Joe, thanks so much. I wanted to make sure we kept this as brief as possible because your schedule is crammed, and you made sure we got a couple minutes with you. Thank you very much. Enjoy it.
Always enjoy talking with you, Steve. Have a great week, buddy.
Joe Person, Charlotte Observer. We'll come back. Kevin will have a complete analysis of this interview and the Tony Knapp interview with only a perspective that he can deliver to the table. It makes the show unique on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Kevin. The Tony Knapp thing depressed you.
A little bit, yeah.
Talking about cash. My question is this, though. What's the top-out number? Where's the ceiling on sports? And are they making steps toward killing the golden goose?
Well, explain to me the idea behind CBS-NBC splitting Thursday Night Football. I mean, I guess football is strong enough right now that you don't need to find it on a consistent channel, that you know that there's going to be a game Thursday night. You know there's going to be a game on Sunday. I just, like, CBS, you know there's going to be a game on CBS on Sunday afternoon. You know it's going to be an AFC game, for the most part. On Fox, you know there's going to be a game Sunday afternoon and Sunday, and it's, for the most part, going to be an NFC game. You know there's a Sunday night game, you know there's a Monday night game, but the Thursday night game being split between two, technically three networks, it just that's confusing to me. I'm a little surprised about that. You see what I'm saying? It's just not consistent to the viewer. You know there's going to be a Thursday night game. Wait, is this one on CBS, NBC? Is this one on Fox? I'm confused. Like, Saturday night, when they run a Saturday night game, I have no idea who's carrying it. That's where I think, that's one problem I think the NFL has. Is
you could tune into NFL Network every week. You'll be on there every single week.
That's true. The Thursday night game will be there all the time. Yeah. And I get why they don't want to just put it there, because I think they're doing a disservice to some of the markets when they had that, because not everybody had NFL Network available to them.
That's right.
And that's why, for instance, when the Jets or Giants were on NFL Network, WOR in New York would carry the NFL Network broadcast.
Right.
So I get it from that standpoint, but splitting it between CBS and NBC seems a little strange to me.
Because they can get more money.
And I realize that's the only reason. I mean, let's be quite frank about it. That's the only reason.
I mean, but I don't think it's going to be that difficult to find. As you watch the game on Thursday night on CBS and next week's games on NBC, they'll tell you.
Well, you know what? That's something I noticed over the last 3 years, I would say. There has been a lot of cross-promotion with the NFL between the networks. You never saw that before.
Well, they're not really competing with you. The only time they're really competing with each other is in the 1 o'clock time slot.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the only time when there's a game on both networks, except for the last game of the season when they both have a doubleheader. Both networks end up with a doubleheader. But I've never seen as much cross-promotion as I've seen in the last couple of years.
When do both networks end up with a doubleheader?
The last week of the season, I thought both networks had doubleheaders as well.
No. Nope. No, they try to keep the doubleheader sacred.
I was thinking the final week of the season they allowed two doubleheaders on the networks.
I don't think so. It's all division games. But, you know, you also have regional coverage. I mean, there's always, you know, you always think there's a doubleheader game and all. It's Philadelphia against the Giants or the 425 game. There's still games on CBS, you know, at the same time. But it's just regional coverage.
Here's another thing I find very intriguing with the NFL. They're very picky with how the NFL is rebroadcast for these primetime games. Now, obviously, they have a mobile partner in Verizon, or had. I don't know if that I think that contract's still going on. Where if you wanted to watch Thursday night football or Monday night football, you actually had to do it from the NFL Verizon app, and you had to be on the Verizon data. You could, like, if I'm home and I want to, for some reason, watch it on my iPad, I can't be on my Wi-Fi at home. I have to be using my Verizon data to be able to watch it. And ESPN at one point was not even streaming Monday Night Football on their app. But now I think they are actually allowed to do it. But the NFL is now starting to discuss streaming rights for Thursday Night Football. And maybe some streaming rights here very soon for Sunday afternoon games.
Or you can just watch it on TV. All right,
and that's okay if the game's on in your market. But if you're a Miami Dolphins fan and you live in Central PA, good luck. You know, you're going to have to go somewhere that has Sunday ticket, buy Sunday ticket yourself. I can't see the NFL staying with that model where it's just available on one platform or one service provider. Think about it. The NFL is the only professional sports series that has a pay-per-view style of watching, but it's only available on one service provider.
They have 30 million viewers for Sunday Night Football. They're okay.
That's great, unless you work Sunday night or Monday night.
Okay. The AFC Championship game had 37 million viewers.
But that's not the game I'm talking about. I'm talking about your regular season games, Steve. I'm talking about the regular season games for the guy who works second shift or the woman who works second shift. And I'm talking about the Sunday afternoon games that you can't watch in your market because around here, you're either watching the Steelers, the Eagles, the Jets, or the Redskins.
Okay.
And okay. Major League Baseball has their own internet source that they're doing. Plus, they have Extra Innings, which you can get on cable and satellite. Hockey has Center Ice, which is available on cable or satellite. NBA Center Court, which is available on cable or satellite. That's an extra fee. The NFL is the only major sports outlet that doesn't have it available on multiple services. It's just DirecTV.
Then get DirecTV.
But again, if there's money out there, you mean to tell me that AT&T is paying that much money that you couldn't open it up to everybody and make more? I don't know. I don't know what this contract is. I find it very interesting that the NFL has not found another avenue for Sunday ticket besides the one that they currently have. Now, it's great for AT&T and DirecTV. They love it.
I suppose they would.
Well, whatever they're doing in the NFL, they're making more money than everybody else.
But that's the one place that I think they're missing out. You were asking, where's the ceiling? I think that's where they made, that's where right now they're making their only mistake.
Oh, they're making lots of mistakes. Okay. That's one of the amazing things about the NFL to me. The NFL, in some ways, is an extremely well-run league that is an unbelievable juggernaut. And in other ways, they are so poorly run where it's you're stunned by their success. That's why I ask, where's the top-out number? I mean, look, the economy in this country tanked in 2008. It's not back to where it was. I know I travel all over the country. Strip malls that were completely filled in 2005, 6, 7, I now see a mini strip mall with maybe 7 openings, and I see 4 or 5 of them boarded up. Tells me it's not going right. You're talking about a country whose employment level is at the lowest percentage it's been in 50 years, 62.8%. That's not good. People are cobbling together part-time jobs for work. You know, prices of DirecTV and what you're talking about cost more than ever. That's why Super Bowl tickets are going down, 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 because guess what? Okay, people don't have the disposable income. The percentage of people that have the disposable income, that percentage has gone down over the last 7 or 8 years. It just has. Now, the housing market went in 2008, followed by the stock market, and the stock market has bounced back tremendously. Now the stock market's starting to fall back again. But the country never fully recovered from 2008. And I can say that because I travel all over the place. I don't sit there in an office and read data. I actually get out there and I see what's going on. I go by businesses that I know were fully stocked years ago, and now I'm seeing places where it's boarded up, not operating, fewer people working. I mean, you know, the unemployment rate's 5%. Doesn't include the people that stop looking. Those are only the people that are collecting unemployment. Okay? Okay, the 5% figure are only the people collecting unemployment. After 26 weeks, you don't collect anymore. You're no longer a statistic. Okay? You got to be smart about what you're seeing here. You just can't believe everything you're being spoon-fed all the time. Right? You got to think a little bit outside the box, which leads me to... Okay, are they starting to overprice across the board? You know, the Big Ten has a big deal coming up. They're the last conference to negotiate the contract. A couple of years ago, it looked like that they would be the ones that would get the biggest of all numbers, and that's still very possible for them. But there's also another part. ESPN has overspent for so many properties, they've laid people off. I mean, ESPN laid off 300 people after 3 years ago laying off 450.